I am sure that you recognize it's always difficult for a pastor to know what to preach on any given Sunday. When I'm doing a series, that's not quite so bad. But when I'm between series, I ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? And sometimes the answer comes quite quickly, and sometimes the answer does not come quickly. And so it was that the other day, one of the men in our church, I believe it was Friday night, said to me, I have an opportunity to witness to the children in my Awana group, but how do I lead a child to the Lord? And I thought, well, if he has that question, then maybe others have that question. And I think that it's well that we address that very question this morning. And I want you to be prepared to take notes. Now, my notes are going to be very, very simple this morning. They will be on the screen, but they will be extremely simple. Because what I'm going to teach you to do this morning is simple. And so it is that we open the Daily Bread this morning. And the title of this morning's Daily Bread is One by One. How many of you read that this morning? Look at that. Good for you. Sorry about the rest of you. There are still some on the window ledge right back there. Grab a Daily Bread and take it home with you if you don't have one. Edward Payson was a famous preacher in a bygone era. One stormy Sunday, he had only one person in his attendance. Some months later, his lone attendee called on him, and he said, I was led to the Savior through that service. He said, for whatever you talked about sin and salvation, I glanced around to see to whom you referred. But since there was no one there but me, I had no alternative but to allay every word to my own heart and conscience. God saves us one by one. If you have access to one, that is your mission field. Every soul with Christ is a missionary. Every soul without Christ is a mission field. The slogan goes, one person cannot reach the entire world, but we can love our neighbor. Who is my neighbor, we ask? The next person we meet along the way. The Apostle Philip, actually he was Deacon Philip too, became an evangelist after the Lord had gone back to heaven. And evangelist Philip was having a very successful evangelistic campaign on the seacoast of Israel. When God one day said to him, Philip, I want you to leave here, and I want you to immediately go to the road that goes down to the desert through Gaza. I have something for you to do. So immediately, Philip takes off and leaves his very successful preaching campaign, and he runs down to the highway that leads down through Gaza, and he's walking or running along the road, and here comes a chariot. A very impressive-looking chariot, I'm sure. A chariot with a very important man in it. And as he comes by, they probably stop to see why Philip is standing there along this dusty road in the middle of a desert. That's not where you normally find people. And Philip realizes that that man had been reading the scroll, Isaiah, which he probably had purchased back in Jerusalem. He also realized that from his dress and his demeanor, he was an important person. He finds out that he is the minister of finance of the country of Ethiopia in northeastern Africa. And he says to him, do you understand what you read? And the Ethiopian said, no, unless somebody explains it to me. And I want you to think this morning, if you were in the position of Philip at that moment, What would you do to explain to that man Isaiah chapter 53? Now, we're not going to do that this morning. What we are going to do this morning is we are going to think about how do you approach someone to ask them if they're ready to go to heaven. And many, many, many years ago, Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church down in South Florida produced a program called Evangelism Explosion. How many of you have ever heard of Evangelism Explosion? Many of you. It's a rather large book, about that thick, quite a good size book. But here's the key. It asks two questions. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you would go to heaven? When they get done stumbling around trying to answer that question, you ask the next question. If you were to stand before God tonight and He asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Now, those two questions will help you identify where that person is in relation to God through salvation. It also helps that person to think about the two most important questions in the whole world. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure? And I don't know, did I darken them? Yes, I did. Do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? The second question asks, why do you think so? What are you standing on? What are you putting all of your confidence in? Someone said to me the other day when I said, well, I know that if I die, I'm going to be in heaven. He said, I wished I could know for sure too. Now, it was not a position that I could answer that man. I was at work. I was on one side of the counter. He was on the other side. I was doing his paperwork. And I did not have opportunity to pursue that conversation. I would love to have, because he just left me wide open an opportunity, but I just couldn't go through it because of what I was doing at that moment. But it's important that you learn to ask those two questions, whether you're talking to little children or you're talking to an adult, whether you're talking to somebody at work, you're talking to a family member, talking to someone on the phone. They're not too bad a way to start the conversation, are they? Now, many of you have heard of something called the Romans Road. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And I said it's going to be very, very simple notes. Can you get any simpler than A, B, C? That's it. If you can know the alphabet, you've got a plan of salvation already made. All right, A, acknowledge that you are a sinner. B, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from your sin. And C, confess Him as your personal Savior and Lord. Now, don't write yet, because I'm going to give you little notes to go with those three things. Under A, acknowledge that you are a sinner. Now you say, well, how do you get somebody to admit that they're a sinner? I'm glad you ask. Because Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says this. All have sinned. What don't you understand about the word all? Right? How many of us have sinned? All of us. And when you're dealing with a person, when you're talking to a person about this, you say, I am a sinner. You point to yourself first and say, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. You never are condemning them from something that you're not condemned for. I am a sinner, you are a sinner, we all are sinners. God says so in Romans 3:23. Now, we're calling this the Romans Road because we're only using Roman words. words from the book of Romans, verses from the book of Romans. I could do the same thing with the book of John. In fact, I could do the same thing with the book of Isaiah. I could do the same thing with the book of Psalms. And of course, when you're using Old Testament, you've got to have in your mind New Testament explanations of those Old Testament passages. But today we're sticking with Romans. So Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now turn in your Bible over to chapter 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. You all know who he was? Adam and his wife Eve, right? Adam introduced sin into the human race. And seeing how he's the first human, it just transfers down from him. Like the top of a pyramid. There's Adam. We're somewhere down here at the bottom of the pyramid at the moment. And if God doesn't come back soon, there'll be a lot of people below us on this pyramid of sin. But as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And if you want one more, the first part of chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages, and you ask the person, especially if you're talking with a child, you ask the child, do you know what wages are? Well, that's what daddy gets paid for working, or that's what mommy gets paid for working. Or if you're talking to an adult, that's what you get paid for working. That's your salary. It's your income. It's whatever you get paid when you work, your wages. But here the Bible says the wages of sin, in other words, the paycheck of sin, is death. And you explain the word death. Now, I want you all to look at me for just a moment. Death equals separation. Death equals separation. You just think about what is death. Physical death is separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul and the spirit from the presence of God for eternity. That's what hell is. Now, it's a lot more than that. But basically, hell is a place where your soul and your spirit will be separated from God and from heaven and from holiness and righteousness for all eternity. It is also a place of heat. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of torment. It's a place of flame. It's a place of memory. It's a place of agony, but it's separation. So death is separation. Separation, life leaves the body. So the wages of sin is death. Now, let's go to B. Point B is believe. Now, what do you want to believe, or what do you need to believe? You need to believe that God wants to save you. You need to believe that God has provided a Savior so He can save you from your sin. You need to believe that God loves you enough to do this. And if you want to throw in John 3:16 at that point, you go right ahead, because most people know that by heart. And you say, but wait a minute, when I get to talk to so-and-so, I never have a Bible with me. I know, that's a problem. So guess what you need to be doing if you haven't already done it? I'm giving you about 10 verses of Scripture, most of which you have heard and some of which you know by heart. You only need to learn these 8 or 10 verses by heart. And you need to learn the basic outline that I'm giving you. You're already two-thirds through the outline. Isn't that quick? I may let you out of here early today to compensate for letting you out late last week, okay? We'll see. I'm no promise now. But God wants to provide you a Savior. And He has done that by providing you His Son. He loved you so much that He gave His Son to die in your place and my place. Now, you don't need to go into all the theology of the death of Christ on the cross. It was in that song that I sang this morning, wasn't it? The gospel was all through there. The crucifixion was in that song. He hung on the cross. The thief next to Him said, "Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" That suggested the thief understood something about the teaching that Jesus had done. Or at least the conversation had gone on the cross, perhaps. And so he said, "Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus said, "Today." That's a very important phrase, folks. Not later on, but today you will be with me in paradise. And we know from other places in Scripture that God says, absent from this body, present with the Lord. No time delay. God doesn't have time delays. The God who can create the whole universe in 6 days, and by the way, I believe the Bible clearly teaches they were basic days that we call 24-hour days, certainly can take you from earth to heaven in the snap of a finger in a moment. Bible says in one place, in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty quick, isn't it? That's pretty quick. So believe that God wants to save you and that God has provided a Savior from sin. Now look at Romans 5:8. It was in the passage that we read this morning. And different translations use different words, but they all mean the same. But God demonstrated, manifested, commended, which is the old King James, commended. But God demonstrates or manifests or commends His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, old King James says while we were yet sinners, means the same, Christ died for us. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ died for you. And if you were the only person sitting here this morning and I was preaching this message, like the guy in the story in the Daily Bread this morning, Christ died for you. And a long time ago, I learned Christ died for me, and I believed it, and I invited Him to come into my heart and my life. Kneeling on a pew in the little church I attended, it would have been right there when I invited Jesus to come into my heart and life. Now, we read the first part of Romans 6:23. Now let's look at the whole verse. For the wages of sin is death, but. And recognize the importance of the word but in your Bible. It always means a change is coming. It suggests a contrast, perhaps. The word but is a very important little conjunction. But the gift of God. Now, do you see the hope? Pay attention to the words, folks. Words have meaning. Pay attention to the words. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to look at the contrast between two words in that verse. Starts out by saying the wages. What are wages? They are what you work for. They are what you earn when you work. What is a gift? Do you earn a gift? No, it's not a gift. If you earn it, it's not a gift. A gift is what you don't earn. No, do you see the contrast? Humanly, I earn death. Spiritually, God gives eternal life. God gives forgiveness of my sin. God gives cleansing of my sin. God gives me a new home in heaven. Do you see the contrast? We have wages, but gift of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus Christ do for you and me? Well, he goes on and he says back there in chapter 5, verse 19, these words, and that's not on the list, I realize. But as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners, also by one man's obedience. Notice there's a different man. If you have a more modern Bible, that's in capital, isn't it? The word man. Why? Because it's referring to Jesus Christ. And so it's capitalized. By one man's obedience. Christ was obedient to the Father who sent him to this earth to die for you and for me. Now, how do I make that mine? Remember our three letters. A, acknowledge my sinfulness. B, believe Christ died for me to save me from my sin. C, I need to confess or to call. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call. But it says in verse 9 and 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Have you found it yet in your Bibles? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, I suggest you underline these two verses plus verse 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, as it says in some translations, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth to righteousness, or man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what comes next? A, B, C. Do you want to add a D? It's decision time. That's not in my notes. I just thought of that. D stands for decision. You have a decision to make. Now you say, I already made that decision. Praise God. But you know what? There may be somebody in this room this morning. You have never decided to receive the gift of salvation that God wants you to have. You see, God does not cram it down your throat. I may try to cram it down your throat, but God doesn't. I'm trying to impress upon you the importance of making sure that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior this morning. So let us bow our heads and close our eyes. There may be someone in our midst, a man, a woman, a boy, or girl, who has not yet made the decision to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. What do you need to do? You need to acknowledge you're a sinner. There's no one who's not a sinner. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by action. We have the nature of sin in our very being. But you need to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And then just call out to him. Confess and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I want you to come into my heart and into my life. I want you to become my Savior, wash away all of my sin, and make me your child forevermore. Will you pray that prayer right now? In your own words, from your own heart. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin. I want you to come into my heart and into my life and wash away all of my sin and make me your child forevermore. I want to become yours. Help me, Lord God, to live for you from this moment on. Pray that prayer. And if you're praying that prayer and you mean it, would you just put your hand up so I know who to pray for this morning? Just put your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I just asked Jesus to come into my heart and life." If you've done that in the last month, here or some other place, would you put your hand up and let me know that you've recently asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Is there anyone else? Thank you. Amen. Heavenly Father, you see the hands of these who just recently have become your children. Rejoice, Lord, we rejoice greatly because of what you've done in their heart and life. Now, God, help us to help them by our prayers, to encourage them along the path to grow in grace and knowledge of you. And thank you, Father, for this simple lesson from your word so that we may use it to win other people to you. Lord, we don't have to be good at this. We only have to be willing to open our mouth and to share what little bit we may know. Glorify yourself, I pray, in all who are your children, and put great convicting power in the hearts of those that have not yet received you as Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.